Tonight, we're in Bomasine State Park, and we are about to do a bat count.
Maybe a decade ago or so, this bat, little brown bat, would have been a very common species. In fact, they used to be roosting in my house in the summertime, too.
Mine, too.
But now, after a disease hit them 10 years later, they're actually rare. They're an endangered species, and we're lucky enough to meet a state wildlife biologist here tonight and volunteers that are counting bats.
We're going to talk about the status of Vermont's bats, in particular the little brown bat, and we're going to count them.
I'm Kent McFarland.
And I'm Sarah Zahendra.
We're biologists with the Vermont Center for Eco Studies.
Welcome to Outdoor Radio.
It's going to be great.
I'm excited. I love bats.
So we're meeting Alyssa Bennett. She's a bat biologist with the Vermont Fish and Wildlife Department. Good to see you, Alyssa. Thanks for inviting us over here.
Thanks for coming out.
So you have volunteers all over the state, and you've trained them to come to sites like this where you know there's bats. I mean, we're standing out here waiting for dust to come because we want to see them come out, but what is going on inside that house right now?
They're sleeping because, as you know, bats are nocturnal, so that means they're sleeping during the day. They're probably starting to arouse, and then they're going to come out and feed for the night. They likely have pups this time of year, which is what we call their babies. They each only have one pup, so they'll be coming out, getting a drink of water, starting to forage right around dusk, a little after sunset, and then they might periodically come back to nurse their pups.
So when you say that bats come out to forage, what is it that they're foraging on?
Little brown bats and all the other 9 species of bats that we have in Vermont are all insectivorous. They're all eating insects. Depends on the species. They might be targeting more moths than beetles. For these smaller bat species, little browns, they're really looking for smaller insects, mostly aquatic insects, midges, sometimes mosquitoes.
Oh, yes.
Pests that are annoying to humans and also agricultural pests, so they provide a lot of services.
And you said we have 9 different species of bat. So where are these other bats and what do they do?
The little brown's very popular because they live in buildings, but in fact their population's really in trouble. They've declined by about 90% in Vermont due to the disease white-nose syndrome. The big brown bat is one that people will more commonly now see in buildings. They were not hit as hard by the disease. Those are 2 that really prefer buildings, so people are most likely to see those. But there are a lot of bats that are out in the forest and that you could see in your yard at night, including the hoary bat, the eastern red bat, and the silver-haired bat. Those 3 don't go to caves and mines in the winter. They actually migrate south for the winter, just like birds would do.
Smart bats.
They are. That way they avoid the disease as well. We don't have any evidence that they're affected by this fungal disease, white-nose syndrome.
What is this white-nose syndrome, and why is it that the bats that hibernate are the ones being affected by it?
The migratory species don't, because they don't go underground in the winter, as far as we know. They go south for the winter to warmer places. Meanwhile, when the bugs are gone in the winter and the temperatures get cold, our other 6 species, we call them cave bats, go underground. Caves, mines, some actually do hibernate in buildings. And in those caves and mines, there's this fungus that appears to be invasive. This fungus can live off of a lot of other things that live in those natural environments, but it also seems to target and digest bat skin. So it's growing on these bats, on any exposed skin during the winter, and most of that is their wing tissue and tail tissue. Those bats go into hibernation. They need to store fat for the winter and use that fat to get them through the winter. And normally they might arouse every 10 days, 2 weeks, but when they have the disease, they're coming out of hibernation every 4 or 5 days and burning 6 or 7% of their body fat each time. So they starve and likely dehydrate.
And so what is the natural lifespan without white nose syndrome?
Bats are very long-lived. Little brown bats, the longest recorded is 34 years old.
Do you have a lot of sites like this house, or is this like really unique to have bats in this house?
This is very unique to have this species of bat. We've investigated almost 900 reports in Vermont of bats in buildings. And out of those, we've identified to species probably almost 300. Nearly all of those are big brown bats. And a lot of them are just a few bats. And out of all those hundreds of reports, we have a couple dozen little brown bat colonies. And this species used to be widespread all over Vermont. When you heard people talk about a cloud of bats leaving their barn, those were little brown bats. Hundreds and thousands were the sizes of their maternity colonies before. Now they seem to still have these large population sizes, but really it's 100 to 300 is typically what we see them in, and only a couple dozen that we've been able to find in the whole state.
Well, a couple dozen? Oh, yeah. Wow, okay.
So it's a very special
place. So this is a special place. So the data that Susan and Jeff are counting here at this site, it's other volunteers at other sites counting too, and you put that all together every year.
Exactly.
And that gives you sort of a picture of what's happening every year with bats?
That's correct. So we're able to look at that and get these trends over time for this species.
And so they're going to come out tonight, and how many hours will they feed, do you think?
Usually they're out foraging for just a couple hours. Then they'll do what we call night roosting, so they'll take a break, sometimes back at the roost if they have pups, or sometimes out in another location. And they'll digest, maybe take a nap, groom, and then go about and feed for another couple hours.
Oh, so like 4 hours of feeding every night?
It might be about
that.
That's
a lot of bugs.
They can eat about half their weight in insects every night in the summer.
I feel like I eat half my weight in insects riding a bike in the summer. All right, so I'm gearing up with my night vision goggles here. That's one of the cool pieces of gadgetry.
Susan and Jeff, you both have clickers in your hands.
Yeah, these are counters, so we can just, while it's dark, not have to write anything down, just...
So one's taking the west side, one's taking the east side. May
and
the best team win.
Tonight the conditions are great. It's above 50 degrees, which we want. It is not windy, and it's not raining.
And there's plenty of mosquitoes
out. Yeah, by the amount of mosquitoes biting my hand, we're in business tonight.
There's a lot of food. Yeah. And we're right near water, which they love as well. That's something that bats need to stay near because they're up in a nice hot space. They need to come out and get a drink of water.
Here they come.
And so where are they coming from?
They're coming from the vent.
You're seeing? Okay.
Yep,
I'm seeing
them come
from
the
left.
Is there one crawling out?
Yep. I just thought, I think it was checking and then it dropped out.
Yeah, it was hanging off of the vent.
Yeah.
They're all flying the same direction, too.
When they came out?
Yeah, they're all flying into the trees.
To the tree.
So I just want to take a couple of steps back and talk about bats in general and why are bats so cool.
I would say there are three reasons we care about bats. One, we live in pretty close proximity to them, and I find that it really helps to understand what you're living close to. The second reason is they do have a value to our ecosystem and our economy. There's been research that suggests that bats save the agricultural industry in the U.S. alone $3.7 to $53 billion a year, that they wouldn't be applying in pesticides. And the third reason is that unknown. When we talk about animals being kind of this key to the ecosystem, sometimes that's not something that we can measure. Sometimes you don't know until they're gone that they actually had an important place.
Well, it's been about your allotted 10 minutes since we saw the last bat, so
yeah,
we're wrapping it up almost.
How many did we get?
We've got 37.
37?
Nice.
Well, thanks a lot, you guys. This was really great. It was awesome to see these bats out here.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for having us out here to help count bats.
You're welcome.
Thanks for coming down to Bombazine.
I'm Kent McFarland.
And I'm Sarah Zahendra.
Thanks for listening to Outdoor Radio.
Okay, now give me the night vision goggles so I can see some more bats.
Let's go.